You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Monday, January 1st, 2024, and welcome to Game of the Year Week on Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every day this week, I am going to be counting down my favorite games, my top 10 games of 2023, as well as highlighting some of my other favorite things throughout the year. I am so happy to have you here today because we are going to be kicking things off this episode with my picks for the number 10 and number 9 games of the year. And to make sure that you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show, which is available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And I would greatly appreciate it if you left a review while you're there to help spread the word about the show. Also, if you'd like to chat about today's episode or just talk about games or whatever, you can find me on Threads and Facebook by searching for Midlife Side Quest. Every day this week, I'm opening up the episode by sending out some positive vibes. And all this week, those positive vibes are going to be going out to one of my favorite game developers of the year. Developers who came together and created something beautiful and entertaining for all of us to enjoy. And I wanted to take this time this week to thank them for their hard work and their dedication. And this week's positive vibes are going to go out to Remedy Entertainment. This Finnish game developer has long been one of my favorites. I first played one of their games back in 2001 when the original Max Payne came out. And while I enjoyed both that game and the sequel, it wasn't until 2010 and the release of Alan Wake that I really, really fell in love with their style of storytelling. In 2016, they released one of my personal favorite games, Quantum Break, which is highly underrated. And then this year, we got the absolutely fantastic Alan Wake 2. Remedy, headed up by creative director Sam Lake, has a truly unique and one-of-a-kind vision that stands out from just about anything else being done in the industry. I love what they do. I love that they have really started to see big success and it's beginning to click more with a larger audience, and I really can't wait to see what they do next. So, most years I have done a top three game of the year list. And last year when I launched Midlife Side Quest, I decided to do a top five list just to change things up a little bit. I do play a lot of new games throughout the year, and I thought, you know, it'd be no problem to pick five games to highlight. But this year was so full of incredible games that I decided I just needed to do a top 10. It didn't feel right to only do five and leave so many incredible games unrecognized, including the two that I'm going to be talking about today. So let's jump in and talk about my number 10 game of 2023, which is Final Fantasy 16. I think I've had something of a, love-hate is maybe not the right expression, unconventional relationship with Final Fantasy games. Some of my favorite games in the series have been Final Fantasy X and XII, and I thought the VII remake, I was underwhelmed by it, so I really didn't know going into this quite what to expect with this latest installment. It looked to be taking a bit of a different approach to the series with, you know, a more grounded, almost Game of Thrones inspired kind of storyline and gameplay, which was much closer to an action game like a God of War than it was to Final Fantasy games that I was used to. And a bit to my surprise, this bold new vision of Final Fantasy really clicked for me. I still enjoy turn-based combat in an RPG, but this action-heavy new focus flowed really well, and it kept the game going at such a quick pace that I think it was a good fit. This new action style also means that you're only controlling a single character in combat instead of a whole party, but that felt fine. And quickly alternating between melee attacks and magic was smooth and responsive and fun in a way that never got old throughout my time with the game. It was always fun to play. And as cool as the grounded battles were, it was some of the incredible boss fights that really left my jaw on the floor. The game does a cool job of integrating icons into the story, which are the same as summons in previous titles. And it's there where these massive titans duke it out that this game really flexes its graphical muscles. When these huge, sometimes skyscraper-sized behemoths do battle, it is a true spectacle, sometimes taking out entire towns in their wake. Yes, these fights sometimes, you know, kind of boil down to glorified cutscenes or quick-time events, but they were still really, really fun to watch and take part in. Story-wise, I really like what they were doing most of the time, I should say. The story of Clive Rossfield, a member of the royal family who is tasked with protecting his younger brother, who is destined for greatness, is full of twists and turns and lots of memorable, great characters. I loved this game's version of Cid. It's a sweeping epic which crosses multiple kingdoms and empires. And like I said earlier, it felt more grounded in a very satisfying way until the end of the game. And I'm obviously not going to spoil the ending of this game for you, but my biggest gripe with the game is that by the time we got to the end, they dive headfirst into some truly grade A anime style shenanigans. It gets really weird, and it didn't quite gel with me the way it ended, where the storyline went. Tripping over the finish line, though, aside, I really, really liked this new style of Final Fantasy, and I hope that they do more titles like this in the future. Number 9 on my list is a game that I just spoke about a couple of weeks ago on an episode, and I'm still playing it now, and that is Coral Island. Coral Island at the surface level isn't radically different from a lot of games in the farming sim genre. You move to an old rickety farm and fix it up while befriending the community and romancing its inhabitants. It's really in the execution that the game stands out from the pack. First of all is the presentation. The game has a great art style. Conversations with the islanders feature large, beautiful illustrations, which give them all a lot of personality. And the island itself looks fantastic. Instead of going the 2D pixel art route, which is common in games like this, it is all beautifully rendered in big, bright, 3D, colorful environments. It's really visually pleasing to play this game. It also checks all of the boxes in the gameplay department. Fully customizable farm and your home, and there's a large assortment of crops and animals that you need to tend to on your farm. There's an entertaining mining portion of the game, as well as deep sea diving, and lots of lore and story to discover all around you, from mermaids that live off the coast to the evil corporation who is polluting the island, and lots of relationship drama and soap opera type hijinks among the villagers. it just does all the things that you want a game like this to do, and they do it really well. It's got fishing and crafting and filling the museum with artifacts and so on and so on. There's a lot to do here. Coral Island will easily keep fans of this genre playing for a long, long time, and there's a good chance that I'll be playing it well into 2024 as well. So that's the start of our list with picks number 10 and number 9, but this is only the beginning. Tomorrow we take a look at number 8 and number 7, which include a surprise new IP as well as one of the most iconic characters of all time. So exciting! Every episode this week, I'm going to end the show by talking about some of my other favorite things of 2023, other than video games, because I do other things besides just play video games all day. And this week, I want to talk about my favorite album of the year. So I will fully admit that I have become that old guy. You know what I mean? I am that person who complains about modern music and what the kids are listening to, and I primarily listen to music from when I was younger. That is 100% me, and I own that unapologetically. Most days you'll catch me listening to Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith, Rage Against the Machine, or the soundtrack to The Crow. But I do check in occasionally with what's new in music, and this year I enjoyed lots of new music from the likes of Måneskin, The Struts, and Queens of the Stone Age. But I would have to say that my favorite album of 2023 was 72 Seasons by Metallica. I started listening to Metallica back in 88, I think, with the release of Injustice for All, and I've been a big fan of their work ever since, you know, not counting a few missteps in the late 90s. 72 Seasons continues their hot streak that started with 2008's Death Magnetic and brought them back to their thrash roots. Songs like Lux Eterna, Screaming Suicide, and If Darkness Had a Son will have you banging your head in the car, but, you know, doing it gentle, like, because you're 46 years old and you don't want to throw your back out. And the title track, 72 Seasons, kicks things off like being shot out of a cannon. This just might be their best album in over 20 years, and it kicks all kinds of butt. James and the gang have been doing it for over 4 decades now, and they are still showing the kids how it's done, and they show no signs of slowing down. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I so appreciate you making time in your day for me. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow as I continue my favorite games of the year. Wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And if you'd like to chat, look for Midlife Side Quest on Threads and Facebook. So until next time, be well and happy gaming.